Let's bring him in now, Adam McAlvey, shall we? Adam, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, good, Bill.
Well,
you gonna watch?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm a baseball fan anyway, so I'm not going to be deterred from watching baseball. I mean, it's a shame that we're not sitting here in Boston right now and talking about where we went and drank Sam Adams last night. But, you know, I guess it was something I wrote this a couple of days ago, and I said, look, it was a hell of a run, and it kind of harkens back to the 2014 Royals when they went into the postseason. They got swept in the ALCS by the Baltimore Orioles 4-0. The next year they came back and won it all after making a few moves. This is a team that still has a lot of people that are under contract. It still has a lot of options. There may be a piece or two that they're going to add in the offseason, plus some of the young guys that may come up and really battle for spots. They're sitting in a really good position right now, right?
They are. And the point that I tried to make when I wrote that the other day is there's no guarantees, though. You know, they felt like they were – you know, look, I was 4 years old, so maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but the Brewers felt like they were in a really good spot in 1982 when they went to the World Series and lost in 7 games to the Cardinals, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening to us right now remember that, and 1983 was a total disaster, and it was until 2008 when they got back to the postseason. So that's the problem is, and Ryan Braun and other players said this, you never know when you're going to get back. And that's why you have to seize opportunities when you get them. And that's why, you know, it hurt the other night when they lost, because that series, when you look at it in aggregate, was just as close as could possibly be statistically. It came down to the Dodgers making some terrific defensive plays late in a couple of games, and the Dodgers getting big hits late in a couple of games. And it hinged on these, you know, these moments in the sixth inning and beyond that just, you know, decided it. And it's the reason that the Dodgers are going to the World Series. The margin was so razor thin. So to get to your point, the answer is yes, they are positioned very well to be competitive for the next number of years. Kane and Yelich were at the core of everything. This was year number 1 of 5 for each of those players. Jesus Aguilar, go around the Travis Shaw, around the diamond. Their core players are either pre-arbitration or arbitration eligible. Bottom line is they're Brewers control at reasonable salaries. So they'll be back. And it's really then on the pitching side where you probably have the most hope if you're a Brewers fan that this team could be better next year. Because you've got Chacin for a second season. He was solid sort of at the top of the rotation. You've got Anderson and Davies in some kind of role because they're under club control, even though they were totally marginalized in September, late September in Anderson's case, and in the postseason mostly for Davies. But what you have are these young guys who stepped forward in the postseason and changed, I think, the view of what they are as pitchers for the better. And I'm talking about Brandon Woodruff mostly, mm-hmm. Corbin Burns a close second, and to some extent I think Freddie Peralta as well. Just the fact that they trusted him to be part of the rosters for those 2 rounds, and he pitched in one of the games in the ALCS. So for Woodruff and Burns, those guys are in the rotation next year, and that should be very promising, I think, for Brewers fans. Is they look forward, those guys look like they are legit, and they're going to pitch a lot more innings next season, assuming they stay healthy, than they did this season.
So kind of rolling through this, you had mentioned some names here. So let's go with Moustakas. I mean, Moustakas is owed quite a bit of money, $15 million going into next season. I can't imagine that the Brewers are going to want to pay that. Is Moustakas a one-hit wonder in Milwaukee?
Well, I think he's probably going to want to go test free agency again, too, because mm-hmm. remember – last offseason was so weird for a lot of baseball free agents, and you know, for him it didn't go anything like he thought it was going to go. I think he's going to test to see whether this year is any better and roll the dice. So I expect that on his end as well, that's a mutual option. I don't expect Moustakas to be back. So that means Travis Shaw is your third baseman again. And then you have to decide what to do with Johnny Scope, who was just, you know, he was no good. It was a trade that didn't work. And I said this on the morning with the morning guys yesterday. I mean, thank goodness for that grand slam off Madison Bumgarner, huge moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it won him a game. So, you know, he is a reason they won the division, because they won the division by one game. So, you know, if you, a lot of people get frustrated and want to say he didn't help them at all. Well, he helped them win a game. But beyond that, it was pretty miserable for Jonathan Scope. He's going to cost, the projection is like $10 million in arbitration. And I think it was a no-brainer when they got him that they were going to bring him back. And the idea was you gave up a lot to the Orioles because you thought you'd have him for a year and a half and not just for 3 months. Now I have no idea what they're going to do. Maybe they just say, look, we committed to this. We gave up some good prospects. Let's see what we can, you know, let's invest in him for another year, see if he can rediscover the power that made him a useful player for the Orioles. And if it doesn't work out, we've got Mauricio Dubon coming back from a knee injury kind of in reserve. I don't know. And we're meeting with Stearns today. That's going to be one of the questions he's asked. Knowing David Stearns, I don't think we're going to get an answer, but maybe we'll get lucky and he'll share with us what they plan to do there. So the good thing for the Brewers, though, is let's say they say, no, it was just a disaster. We're going to let him go. They can look now for a second baseman and third baseman, because Travis Shaw proved, I think, that he was pretty good at second base. There was one game at Wrigley Field in the middle there where he was exposed for his range, and it hurt him. I can't think of a game beyond that one where it really hurt them playing Travis Shaw at second base. And in fact, I think there were plays where he was really good in his ability to barehand the baseball coming in on balls, because that was a play he was good at third, actually helped him. He looked good turning two. I think that actually worked out pretty well, and I think it puts the Brewers in a position, if they say they want to go get an infielder, to be able to look at a couple of different positions. So I think Travis Shaw is a guy that really helped them this season and moving forward as they sort of figure out what to do at second base.
I agree with you on Scope. You're looking for the numbers that he put up from a year ago in 2017, where he had 32 home runs and batted .293 and, you know, had an OPS of almost .840, .850, and those are the numbers you're looking at. But prior to that, it was a .267, .279, which is still good, but they're not the surge that he had in 2017. And it's hard to figure out, because you started to see some of that in July of this year before the trade deadline. And you thought, okay, that's the Jonathan Scope that you're wanting. Here he comes. He's going to really be on the come. And it never, ever panned out in Milwaukee. He gave you one moment in you know, since the trade deadline. And really, don't get me wrong, big moment, like you said, but in the grand scheme of things, he became more of a liability. So I can't imagine them bringing him back, and I can't imagine bringing him back for $10 million a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, again, the argument in favor of it would be that you made this determination in July that he was a guy that you liked. And sometimes you have to be stubborn in your analysis and stick with it. And you know, the other thing is they have all these guys coming back. They're in a good place salary-wise. You know, you can spending $10 million, even if it hurts you a little bit, you know, for what he did performance-wise, it's not something that's going to kill you in the big picture or for your payroll. So it's an option there for them if they choose to go forward. And they're going to have a little bit of time to figure that out, because it's not until December that they'll have to, you know, if he's a non-tender, that's when that would happen in early December. So there's a little bit of time to kind of look at what the options are if you choose to go with someone else. And look, I mean, the Keston Hira is, I mean, that dude is doing crazy things in the Arizona Fall League. I mean, he looks like just a hitting savant. If he can stay healthy with the elbow, he's going to be the Brewers' second baseman sooner rather than later. It's not going to be opening day next year. You know, you're basically looking, how do we bridge second base for a year, maybe a year and a partial season? Just how do we get to Keston here at that position? And then, look, don't forget Mauricio Dubon. And Orlando Arcia had a miserable season offensively, but he's going to go into the offseason with something good to feel good about. Patience is required with young players, with young hitters. He definitely is young. He's so good defensively. So you've got this Dubon, Hira, Arcia combo at shortstop, and it's not ready to all play together right now, but it's coming. And I mean, especially Mauricio Dubon, I mean, he would have played a big role in 2018 had he not had that super unlucky knee injury and been out for the year. So it's, I think you don't want to forget about those pieces as you look at the decisions that they're going to make in the immediate of what they do at second base.
Real quick, now, a lot of speculation. I was watching the MLB Network the other night about the postseason for the Brewers. Most believe for as an amazing job as they did managing this bullpen and kind of doing things unconventionally, they still believe that although it's not going to be a $250 million starter, that a starter's in their future. Do you see that?
Well, look, I mean, I just ran down the names. So, I you know, if it's there for you and it's a guy you really like, sure. Are they going to add pitching? Sure. I mean, they added Chacin on a two-year deal. It didn't make giant headlines. It wasn't Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta, even though everybody was clamoring for those to be the moves. They added Wade Miley. That was even lower on the radar because it was a minor league deal. And both of those guys ended up playing up a significant role. So if you're asking whether I think they're going to add a starting pitcher like that, the answer is definitely yes. They're going to add depth. They're going to take a flyer on some guys. They're going to invest where they feel like it makes sense to invest. If you're asking whether Clayton Kershaw opts out of his deal, are they going to go sign Clayton Kershaw? I think my answer is no, because of the pieces that they have and the sense that, you know, they went into last season talking about having a little bit of an unconventional approach to starting pitching. They took that approach throughout the season and they got dividends from it. And I think that's even has a chance to be even more the case next year when you look at those young guys we were talking about joining the rotation. We didn't mention Adrian Hauser, who I think is going to play a role next year and is out of options and threw the ball really well coming off Tommy John surgery, has a chance to be a piece in whether it's a swing man making a start here and there, kind of that Brent Suter doing every kind of thing, every kind of role. I think Brent Suter in the second half of next season, you hope to get something up. Jimmy Nelson is a huge wild card coming back from shoulder surgery. So you kind of look at the numbers that they've got in starting pitching. You look at the guys, the number of those players that have options that could be sent back and forth when you need a fresh arm. I mean, I think there's a chance that they do. This is going to, this maybe is hard to do in the National League over the course of a season, but I could see, considering the number of guys that have options, some kind of hybrid approach that looks something like what they did in the playoffs over the course of a long season. Now, you can't do it to the degree they did it in the division series where or the NLCS where it's one inning and then you make a change, like in game one of the NLDS, the very first postseason game when it was Woodruff following Gio Gonzalez. But what if there are, you know, they employ tandems in the minor leagues. What if they do some kind of tandem system with the number of guys that they've got where it's Brandon Woodruff for as long as he can go and then behind him comes Adrian Hauser for as long as he can go. And you cover seven innings with that combination of guys, and then you go to these stud relievers who are, for the most part, all back. That seems doable for a couple of the five spots over the course of the season, considering that you have optionable guys that you can go up and down and bring a fresh arm when you need it. So I think that's on the table, at least, to try to do and save those dollars that you would invest in the old notion of what a starting pitcher is supposed to be and try to put those assets somewhere else to help you, whether it's maybe it's a bullpen guy, a multi-inning bullpen guy. Maybe it's like we're talking about filling a hole in the infield. I think that's at least something that they'll look at this offseason just based on the number of the numbers that they have in the starting rotation of pitchers with a little bit of length that look like really good young developing pitchers.
Always good, Adam. Certainly appreciate it. And I know we're going to touch base again soon, okay?
Yep, anytime, Bill. You can have me on. We'll talk about...
hopefully moves.
The next thing is probably, 40-man roster ads are probably the next the next thing. That'll get people fired up for the winter.
Always good, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. There you go. That's Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.